W4DJW, KN4CHY.
KN4CHY, W4DJW. That sounds good.
That's the reason I called you. I'm sitting on my front porch with the HT, over.
Well, that's good. The HT's doing good.
Of course, I'm getting in because I'm not on low, medium, or high power. I'm on turbo power, high.
What is turbo power? Is that one of those 8-watt handhelds?
Anytone 878, UV2 Plus. I believe it's 7 watts for turbo mode.
Okay, well, it does have white noise around it, but it's still completely readable.
I don't think I can do low power, because low power is like 200 milliwatts. Drop down to medium power and see if I can still get in.
Okay, I'll be listening. W4DJW.
4DJW, KN4CHY, medium power.
That sounds just as good as it did before.
I'm thinking there's still something going on with the base station, over.
Well, have you tried it? Well, when you tried it a little while ago, it was completely audible, but it was low. It wasn't really high audio.
It's kind of strange, because I did that the max deviation thing that you showed me the YouTube video on, and I don't know, maybe, yeah, I guess I need to go in and check that, because I know a lot of stuff, if you don't save the PM, then next time you power it on, it's not there, but I was thinking that would probably be there, since it's in the service menu of it.
Yeah, I did, when you went on to listen to more of that, he did warn that if you don't hit the save button, it does not save it, it goes away. But also, didn't you use the same setting that he had? You might want to go up higher than that. Go up until it distorts and then come down until it stops distorting. And that'll let you know what your maximum deviation setting is.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot. I'll check the service and see if it maybe did revert back. And yeah, I'll stick with what he did on his, because it was quite different from what mine was stopped, so that's why I stuck with what he had. But yeah, I'll do some testing this time around, and like on a simplex frequency, and see what I can get.
Well, when you get it set up, if you want to, you know, bump it up and bump it up and bump it up until it starts deviating, you know, let me know, and I can work with you on it till we get it to the point to where it's overdriving, and then you can start backing it down until it comes back clear again, and that'll be your maximum setting.
We get a lot of that in the CNC machining world. You turn it up until it breaks, and you back it down.
Setting feeds and speeds. Yeah, I remember those days.
Be aware of moon phase and planet alignments when you're doing stuff like that, but usually work out pretty good.
I remember when we went to ceramic tools, from high-speed steel to carbide to ceramic, and ceramic was so much faster than any of the other stuff. It was just scary. It was scary how much you could take and how fast you could take it.
Done any ceramic. And the place I used to work at, we did ceramic parts, but never machined with ceramic inserts.
Well, they will, I mean, when they break, they're done. I mean, and they shatter when they break. But until that point, you can get a lot high. In fact, you have to have higher feeds and speeds. One of the guys that I worked with, he was a lathe expert. He'd been doing it all his life, and he worked with Sandvik on their tooling and testing their tooling out. And he took some big old, big thick chips, flipping those big chips off of there, very aggressive. Putting the machines, using 100% of the power of the lathes, and these are big lathes, as big as, you know, a bedroom, the table on it. And they had the guys out there from Sandvik with them, And he looked at him. He said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah, we're sure." And sure enough, it would work, and we would use those numbers going forward. But it was scary how fast you could take metal. You could remove material with those ceramic cutters.
Yeah, I do remember you mentioning vertical waves before. So I'm assuming that was a vertical. Almost went to work for a company that had vertical waves, but I've never run one. Yes, that's pretty amazing. I would imagine the ceramics would not be very robust on interrupted cuts. Would that be correct?
Yeah, they're no good for that. You don't want to slam them. You've got to, you know, you've got to introduce them gradually. You've got to curl them in and curl them out, right? You can't just slam them in and you can't just rip them out either. Either way, you got to introduce them gradually and then remove them gradually.
Makes perfect sense. I don't know. We use some diamond tip inserts. We do that mainly for surface finish on aluminum, you know, with sealing surfaces and stuff. It usually makes for a nice finish, but I wonder if they've looked into any ceramics for stuff like that.
We use diamond for some things. So that was more for the fine. So the vertical lays were used for the piece that holds the mold together. The tire goes inside the mold to cure, and the mold is outside of the tire. And then you've got this shell that goes over the mold that retains heat, so the temperature stays constant even after you introduce the tire. There's no thermal shock to the mold. It stays the same temperature all the time because of the massive amount of metal that is powering the heat that's going into it. That way you get an exact number of minutes that it takes the tire, and you get extremely good consistency with curing and flow. When you cure a tire, you want it to flow into all the cracks and crevices of the mold evenly. So these were really big chunks of steel. And for that, you didn't use diamond. You just got too much material to remove for that. But for the tread pattern, those came in blocks that were called matrices. A matrice is like a pie wedge shape of a tire. You stand the tire up on end like it is when it's rolling down the road, and you just cut a pie shape out of it. And then you look at that tread pattern for that cross section. That's called a matrice in steel form. They build them in steel form, and then they inject them in aluminum, the mirror of that. And then that's the mold that the tire goes into to be cured. And those they use diamonds because they're really small and really intricate patterns. So some of those they'd use diamonds on. And there was a lot of diamond files and stuff like that for hand finishing, because some of the stuff you just couldn't cut. Even with a six-axis milling machine, you still couldn't get all the angles. You still had to have hand fitters that finished it up and took all the tool marks out of it before it was completed, before DJW.
Where did you see? Pretty amazing work. I've never done a lot of mold work myself. My older brother worked Gulfstream. He did a lot of it. I never had to do any of that super fine hand finishing like that. But always amazing what those guys can turn out. Go ahead, Jerry.
Most every day, I was involved in today with a granddaughter stayed out of school. She's fine now. She had a bad headache this morning, but didn't know what I was getting into the machines. I was really interested in listening to mold making and all that sort of thing. I went with the family for a while and did some designed some parts. And back in those days, we used wood molds, so we'd sand cast them.
Jerry, you're getting in from Malden just fine. I think that's where you said you were, Malden. Yeah, those were the old days. They probably do it totally different now. That's back when I was doing it 20 years ago, before I went into financials. And I was still in manufacturing. I miss manufacturing. There's a lot of takeaways from that can be applied to a virtual world. And one of the things that really amazed me about manufacturing is that how far they had advanced when you look at what work that had to be done. Like Keith and I were talking about a minute ago, going past the point of breakage and then come back down to just below that point. They do that in financials too, but it's all with computers and it's all virtual. So it's not really real. It is real. There's a database in the end that stores the value. But they do the same thing with them, but it's so much easier when you're just working with machine with computers than when you're working. That's why I got into that's why I changed my major from mechanical engineering into computer science, is because I could do the same thing. You can do the same thing in either world. One is just you have nothing costs anything. You build all your tools. And the other one is you got to pay for some really expensive tools, W4DJW. Transmission, Keith, that went down really, really low for me. I could barely hear you. So, and then it started picking up toward the end. And then when Jerry got in there, it was pretty low for Jerry too. But then toward the end, Jerry picked up. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if propagation is dynamically changing or if the repeater, there's windy up there at the tower or what it is. But yeah, they use, I think it's Inconel, Jerry, to build the part that the injection, the aluminum injection went into. So they do aluminum injection against an Inconel matrice. And it had like steel inserts that they called lamels. That was the little cuts that you see that makes it so that the chunks of rubber can move around independently of each other so they can get better grip on the road and water can evacuate. But it's interesting. It's interesting learning about how other people did that. I often wondered, are we the... do we do things different than everybody else in the world? But no, not really. I think everybody's doing the same thing, learning what the limits are, how fast they can cut, how much material they can remove before they start breaking things, and how much they've got to slow it down to get a good finish in the end. W4DJW.
I agree there. I work with quite a few Germans over there at Rexall. They did the same kind of things, but boy, they had techniques that changed. The processes were about the same. And anyway, Dave, the real reason I wanted to reach out to you is I went over to Blue Ridge, and he does have some tubing. Did you ever get any sketches on what he was looking at?
While they were talking about that, I did pull up the drawing for the winch. You're talking about the receiver for to bolt the winch to, so that you could bolt the winch, so that you could put it on a hitch for a vehicle and use it from the vehicle. Is that what you're talking about?
He's got the 2-inch, and he said he'd have to look to see if he's got something fit over it, but I think the 2-inch is going to be the main thing, the 4-foot piece. So wondering about how much, if we find something fit over it, about how much we need.
So I remember they talked about a 4-foot piece and an 18-inch piece. So I don't know if the 18-inch, I think he wanted a plate that fits diagonally on the longer piece so that he could bolt two plates together and put some slots in it so he can rotate it. I don't know if he wants to go a full 180 degrees or past 180 degrees, but I know he wants a piece to go into the receiver that the winch can be mounted on, and then two plates so that the winch can be rotated. Probably, I think he's wanting more than 180 degrees. And what the 18-inch piece was for, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Said he was wanting to do that on the end in case they wanted to put something in the end of this contraption. But I'll look at getting the square tube in and he was supposed to send myself and Steve a sketch, and I never got it. I don't know if he just left me out or what, but I'll go ahead and get the square tube in, and we can go from there.
Well, if you want, I'll ping you and Johnny and Steve and say, hey, this is the thread that you can use, a text message. I'll send a text message to all three of you. And I'll tell Johnny this is the text message group that you can use to send your sketch to. And hopefully he'll just he'll sketch it out and take a picture of it and send you that sketch.
Yeah, I might have quick heat on you there. But yeah, he said he'd have to look to see what he's got. It sounded like he's got both quarter and 3/16. I'll stay with quarter for the 2-inch. And then whatever we can get to go over the... over the 2-inch. I'll pick up a 4-foot piece and an 18-inch piece, and we'll go from there for the rest of it.
Okay. Well, I'm sending him a text message now and asking him to send that send that sketch to this text message group.
Sure. And Gary didn't mean to leave you out. I need to go ahead and get that out there. I got to get back in and make me a sandwich and get back to work. Go ahead, Jerry.
You guys, anyway, I'm talking a little louder now. I turned my light gain up just a little bit, too. But the jet's going over here, coming in out of Donaldson, and the Norfolk Southern over here at the switching station is starting to act up a little bit, too. So I wanted to back up and say hi to both of you. George, the conversation, Dave, that this machine and stuff and mold making stuff is really complex. But the basics stay the same, it's just the materials that differ. You guys have a great afternoon, and talk to you later on. 73, M4DJC clear.
All right, Jerry, that worked. You pumped it up a little bit. I think Keith came up a little bit, too, because I heard every bit of Keith's last transmission. So I don't know what's going on. It's going up and down. I guess when you're further out with a handheld and you're further away, it's jumping up and down a little bit. Anyway, got all of that. Sounded good. And good to talk to you, Jerry. Enjoy the time you spend with your granddaughter. And Keith, go ahead and make your sandwich. I sent that text message. Hopefully Johnny will send that sketch to all three of us. Good talking to you today. KM4CHY and N4DJC, W4DJW. Go ahead, Chandler.
I just got back in the car. I just got down at Walmart. Couldn't get my prescriptions, though. For some reason, the pharmacist said my insurance couldn't cover it, and they said it's going to cost me $600. I said, not today. See you later.
Well, I think that's what needs to happen to him, regardless of whether there's insurance or not, right? If everybody, when they ask for those ridiculous prices, as if everybody could say no, then they would be forced not to charge those ridiculous prices. That's just crazy. They only do that because people use insurance and people don't pay attention to how much the insurance is paying. And in the end, it hurts everybody. So good for you, Chandler.
DJ.
For DJW, KS4C, why, real quick, I'm wondering if the fading in and out is not the coax thing again, because it is pretty breezy over here. I would imagine, excuse me, up there on top of the tower, it's even more so. anyway, going in to make a sandwich. KS4CHY clear.
Well, I did take a picture. I did go up there Monday morning and took pictures. And it looks pretty solid to me. I took 33 pictures of the coax or the hard line going up the tower and then all around the antenna and then the hard line coming down the tower. And I don't see what he's talking about it being loose. In fact, in some places he's got like tie wraps every 6 inches. It looks like ours is more secure than any of the other people that have antennas hanging off that tower. But that's just me, so I don't know. But we'll see what he says. He's got the pictures, and he's going to make the plan on when we're going to go up there and what we're going to take. So I'll just go around. I don't do tower work. I'll do the stuff on the ground and the programming and all that stuff. Those guys do the tower work. I just take their word for it and take pictures for them. Anyway, enjoy your lunch. Bon appetit. W4DJW clear.
4-MUE-KO-4-WWC.
DJW Mobile.
No contact. W4-DJW-KO-4-WWC.
Who you calling?
Trying to put a call out to Chad, but he didn't answer.
This morning, a lot earlier this morning, he was calling you and he wouldn't get any answer either.
Cliff, I did not know that. yeah, I hadn't been up early in the mornings like I had, and I'm switching jobs, so I'm not going to be up about 5:30 no more. More like 6:30, 7:30, and then heading into work about 9, because I'll be there by 10.
What kind of job did you get?
Got me a janitorial position with the school district of Pickens County.
Okay, that's the one you were telling me about you were trying to get. Well, congratulations. You got it.
Sir, for the staffing agency, I have about 45 days for them to decide if they want me to be an official employee or not. It's a job. It's better than no job. And it's full-time, year-round pay, so I won't have to worry about not having the job done this summer.
Well, the probationary period, I think everybody does that these days, but that shouldn't be a problem. But, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Now it'll be easier to save for the radios that you want.
Especially ICOM 5100. Hey, I gotta go. I'm destinated. 73. I'm sorry to cut it short. I got some groceries I gotta get in.
All right. Catch you later. Have a good day. W4DJW Mobile.